This morning, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture with regard to Noah. You remember, everybody knows about Noah and the flood, Noah and the ark, and all of that. Well, we're going to look at a rather, perhaps less known passage with regard to Noah and the end of Noah's life. So if you would, if you wish, turn to Genesis chapter 9, and we will begin at verse 18. The sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These were the three sons of Noah, and from them came the people who were scattered over the whole earth. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard, and when he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father naked and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders. Then they walked in backward and covered their father's naked body. Their faces were turned the other way so that they would not see their father naked. When Noah awoke from his wine and found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves will he be to his brothers." He also said, "Praised be to the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be the slave of Shem. May God extend Japheth's territory. May Japheth live in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be the slave of Japheth." And after the flood, Noah lived 350 years. Noah lived a total of 950 years, and then he died. So after the flood, the earth was repopulated by Noah and his three sons. So apparently Noah did not have any more children himself, he and his wife. But they had three sons, and so those three sons began to repopulate the earth. And in this passage, we have the unfortunate incident of Noah becoming drunk. Noah planted a vineyard. And so it's interesting that Noah, who built the ark, the magnificent structure, didn't build for himself a tent or a house, but he lived in a tent. And he decided to take up farming, and so he planted a vineyard. And as anyone would who plants a garden, you want to enjoy the fruits of that garden. And so he planted a vineyard, he made some wine, and he began to drink that wine, and he became drunk. So the first observation is this: Noah got drunk. Now, we could spend a lot of time on that, but we're not going to. Noah drank some of the wine and he got drunk. Perhaps he showed a little lack of judgment in doing that. And as you know, and as we all know, when someone gets drunk, their inhibitions drop. And so they may begin to do other things that they shouldn't do or wouldn't otherwise do. And so in Noah getting drunk, he lowered his guard. He wasn't his normal self. And so he slept it off in his tent, naked. Now, we don't know whether he went to bed naked. I assume that probably as he was sleeping it off in the tent, he probably got hot and he took off his clothes and he was in his tent. So he slept it off in his tent, naked. And then Ham, the youngest son, found his father passed out in the tent. Ham then told his brothers, and Shem and Japheth acted honorably. So we don't want to read into this passage any more than what is already here, okay? But the reality is what happened was Ham discovered something about his dad. He found him drunk and he found him naked. Something that probably Noah wouldn't want other people to know about. He discovered his father in a weakened and vulnerable state. He discovered that his father, who had been this man of God, who had built the ark, who had been obedient to God, who was a righteous man, dropped his guard, made a mistake, fell into drunkenness, and lay naked in his tent. And so we don't know the motive behind why Ham shared that with his brothers. Maybe from being in the ark for so long in such close quarters, maybe they got on each other's nerves. And so maybe Ham found this opportunity to kind of get a jab in against his dad. Hey, guys, you know, Dad, who's so righteous and holy, well, he's drunk, naked in his tent. We don't know any of that. But what we do know is that he came out and he reported it to his brothers. His brothers acted honorably in that they took a garment and they stretched it between them and they walked backwards and they covered their father's nakedness and they covered his shame, which gives us a picture or an opportunity to look at this and think, what would we do? What would you do? Would you run and tell everybody? Or would you cover it up? See, what Japheth and Seth did is they took this situation where their father was vulnerable, where he had dropped his guard, where he perhaps had acted in a foolish manner. They took that opportunity and they covered it. They covered it up. They could have gone out and shared it with the rest of the family. We don't know how Noah discovered that his younger son had done that, so we can only assume that when he woke up, that some people had heard about it and had mentioned something to him. We really don't know. But anyways, he found out what his younger son had done, and his younger son had acted dishonorably. He had taken that bit of information and he had shared it. He did nothing to cover his father's shame. In fact, what he did was he exploited it. For what reason, we don't know. Proverbs 17:9 says this, "Whoever would foster love covers an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends." So in other words, you hear a story, you discover a story, you find out something about somebody, and you repeat it, it brings about division. It brings about discord. It is the opposite of love. In Proverbs 19:11, it says, "A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense." So you see something, you hear something, you find out something about somebody else. And so instead of repeating that, you just let it go. And it's to your glory. It's an indication of your character. But the reality is that we don't often do that. I don't do that. Perhaps you don't do that. This passage has been with me for some time because I think the Lord was pointing out to me that I don't need to share everything I hear. I don't need to share everything I know. I don't need to pass on every bit of information that somebody shares with me. Maybe a story that puts somebody else in a bad light could just end with me. I have that choice. See, I have the choice, just like Ham had a choice. He could take that information. He could have acted honorably. Actually, he didn't even have to cover his dad. He could have just backed out and said, "Whoa," and not said anything. But instead, he went and reported it. And Shem and Japheth said, "Hey, this is going to end with us." And they covered that offense. So, what causes us to repeat offenses? What causes us to share information? And when I say share information, I'm not necessarily talking about talking or speaking, but don't put up your hand because I don't want you to implicate yourself. But how many have ever heard something and then shared it with somebody else? Something perhaps that was negative about somebody and shared it with somebody else, just passed it on. Maybe it was funny. Maybe it was humorous. Maybe it was hurtful. We don't know. But the reality is we've all probably done it at some point in our life. And some of us do it more often than others. But what causes us to repeat offenses? Well, first is pride. Pride. You say, well, what does pride have to do with it? Well, pride is to make ourselves look good. We want people to look good at us. So if we can share another person's sins or another person's shortcomings or another person's failures, what we're really doing is saying that, hey, I'm better than this person. So let me tell you what this person did. Let me tell you how I disagree with what this person is doing. Because if I were them, I would, of course, do something differently. I wouldn't have been caught in that sin. I wouldn't have done that. And so pride, the chance to make ourselves look good or look better than we are, would cause us to repeat offense. In Philippians 2, 3 through 4, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. And so when we hear something, when we see something, when we experience something, and we choose to tell it, whose interest are we advancing? Ours. Maybe because we want to get a laugh. Maybe because we want to disgrace this other person. Maybe because we just, you know, like being able to tell the story. But the reality is we're doing that to advance our own interest. And we certainly have no concern over the interest of others. Ham showed no interest or concern for his father. He told it to his brothers. Now, here's the interesting thing about telling something to someone else. Once it leaves your lips, you have no control over what happens to it. Once it leaves your lips and you share it with somebody else, you have just given them permission to take that bit of information, to take that story, to take that sin, whatever it is, and do with it what they want. You can't control it. You've just given that away. And sometimes when you share things with other people, maybe they can't handle it in the same way that you can. I know a story of a friend, and she posted this on Facebook a couple of years ago. And something had happened when she was younger, and she had a small son. And she said something about somebody. There had been a disagreement, or there had been an exchange, or something that she observed about that person. And so she shared that with that individual, or with her son. He heard about that, what that individual had done. And then later on, some 20 years later, she mentioned that same person, and her son said, "I don't like him." And the mom said, "Why would you say that?" And the child, well, the adult son, repeated what the mother had said 20 years prior about that individual. And she was embarrassed because she was just caught up in the moment. She was upset. And she had since let it go. But her child couldn't let it go. And so for 20 years, he carried this grudge against this person because of what his mom had said. See, once it leaves your lips, or once it's been posted on Facebook, you can't control what somebody else will do with it. And so she was embarrassed to think that she had damaged this man's reputation with his with her son because of something that she said carelessly 20 years prior. Think about it. Once you say it, you can't control where it goes. You can't control what someone else does with it. Again, I would remind you of something I said a few weeks back. Do not try to make yourself taller by standing on another person's failures. Or, as I put it, do not try to make yourself taller by standing on another person's corpse. Just stand on your own accomplishments. But don't bring in somebody else's faults, somebody else's mistakes, somebody else's sins, and try to make yourself look taller or look better because of their failures. The second reason that we repeat offenses is this, jealousy. Jealousy. The Bible tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Romans 12:15. So think about it for a moment. Something good happens to somebody else. Does it make you happy? Especially if, like, maybe there's a little rivalry between you and something good happens to them. Do you rejoice for them? Or does it make you upset? Does it make you jealous? And so then, when something bad happens to them, do you celebrate? Yeah, they did. Well, they deserved it. Or we say, well, it's karma. Do we rejoice when people rejoice and mourn when people mourn? That's what the Bible tells us to do. And so I've experienced this even in my own life. Sometimes, I'm ashamed to say it, but earlier on in my ministry, if something happened to another church and, you know, they were growing and exploding and whatever, it would bother me a little bit. I honestly would be jealous. But then if something negative happened in that same church, well, you know, I'd want to tell people, see, they aren't all they're cracked up to be. You know, and that's to my shame. But it was driven by jealousy. We might do that with people at work, or we might do that with siblings, or we might do it with family or other people. And we do the opposite of what Scripture tells us to do. We mourn when they rejoice, and we rejoice when they mourn. The third reason that we do that is malice. What is malice? What is maliciousness? It's wanting to cause harm to another individual. And 1 Peter 2:1 says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. And so we do it because of pride. We do it because of jealousy. We do it because of malice. And not only is this a problem with me, and not only is this a problem with you, it's a problem with other Christians, and it's a problem that actually the world faces right now. Look at the newscast. How much of the news is really news that makes a difference in our life? And how much of it is exploiting the mishaps and the mistakes and the sins of other people? And when somebody sins, or somebody in Hollywood or a politician falls, makes a mistake, and we continue to repeat that, in a way, what we're doing is we're celebrating their sin. In other words, we're happy that they sinned because it makes us look better, or because they might be in a different political party, and we want to make sure that that party doesn't win re-election. And so when we hear that there's been an indiscretion, or we hear that there's been a problem, or we hear that they've made a mistake, we repeat it. Why? To further our agenda. And so in doing so, we celebrate the failures of mankind. And we're not to do that. We're not to do that. And so very quickly, I want to give you this acronym. Think before you speak. Think before you speak. So I want you to ask yourself a question. When you're about to say something, when you're about to tell a story, ask yourself, is it truthful? Is it truthful? Is what I'm saying the truth? And some people, that's all they say. Well, I heard it, and I heard it from a reliable source, so it must be truthful, so therefore I have the right to repeat it. Well, not necessarily. First of all, we repeat a lot of things that we don't know that are true. Just because we read it, just because we heard it, and we repeat it, we don't know that it was true. We didn't see it. It was just reported to us. But even if we did see it, even if we did experience it, is sharing it helpful? Is it going to help anybody by sharing it, by repeating it? Who's it going to help? Is it just going to help you? Well, then it's probably not a good reason to share it. Letter I, is it inspiring? Is it inspiring? In other words, is it going to edify somebody? Is it going to lift them up? Is it going to build somebody up? Or is it going to tear them down? Is it going to make them look bad? And in some twisted way, we think it makes us look better. Is it inspiring? Letter N, is it necessary? That would end a lot of conversation right there. Just that one. If we forgot everything else, if we forgot whether it was truthful, forgot whether it was helpful or inspiring, it just may not be necessary. That conversation may not be necessary. That story may not be necessary. And so if we thought, well, is this necessary? Is it necessary for me to repeat something that I read on Facebook about the President of the United States? Because think about it. I mean, we'll just look in the realm of politics. If you're sharing something political that you heard about somebody that's negative, And we may not be talking about a policy issue. We may be talking about a character flaw or, you know, a mistake or something like that. And we repeat it. Who are we repeating it with? To. We're repeating it to people who have our like thought, like mind. You know what I mean? We're probably, so if we're going to criticize a Democrat, we're probably repeating it to Republicans, right? So are we going to change their mind? No, because their mind is already made up. We don't go and share it with someone who we know is in the opposite party to try to change their mind. And besides, you're not going to change their mind anyways. No, we share it, we commiserate, we celebrate with people of a like mind and make that other person look bad. So a lot of stuff we say just really isn't necessary. And then finally, is it kind? Is it kind? So think before you speak. Ask yourself, is this truthful? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? You say, when you look at Ham, you say, well, it was truthful. I mean, he saw his dad naked, drunk in a tent. That was the truth. Now, maybe he told his brothers to be helpful so they could take care of it. I really doubt that. But was it inspiring? No. Was it necessary? No. And was it kind? No. It was malicious. So I want to close with giving you some scriptures in case you think I'm just off base on this story. Let's see what the Bible has to say. In Ephesians 4, 29 through 32, it says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs," so helpful and inspiring, "that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, but get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." And in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, "Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." And then finally, or next, Luke chapter 6, verse 31, what we would consider the golden rule: "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Now, in our modern day theology, we have altered that. We have altered it to be, "Do unto others as they have done unto you." But that is incorrect. Well, they did this, so I'm going to do that. No, it's, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." So if somebody had a bit of juicy information about you that would cause you to be to look in a bad light or cause people to perhaps cast judgment on you, would you want them to share it with everybody they encountered? No, you wouldn't. So then why would you share something with somebody about somebody else? The world would be a whole much better place if we would just follow the golden rule. And finally, 1 Peter 3:9, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." Now, I don't want to get into it, but I just too deeply, but I'll just close with this thought. So as you continue to read in Genesis chapter 9, you'll see what Noah did. He cursed Canaan. Who was Canaan? Canaan was the son of Ham, who had gone in and seen his father drunk and naked and told everybody about it. So he cursed Canaan, his offspring. So what do we know about Canaan? Well, we know that Canaan became the father of what? The Canaanites. And what did the Canaanites inherit or occupy? The land of Canaan. God's chosen people, the seed of Abraham, were told to what? To go and possess the land of Canaan. And so we see right there that the descendants of Seth, or Shem and Japheth were blessed, and the descendants of Canaan were cursed. 1 Peter 3:9 says that we are to do this because to this you were called, so that you may what? Inherit a blessing. So there's a blessing to be inherited by just holding our tongue, not repeating everything we hear, not trying to make ourselves look better by saying something negative about somebody else. Ask yourselves, is it truthful? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? I think the world would be a much better place if we just followed that simple rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this teaching. We thank you for its implications for our lives. Father, may we be known as people who hold our tongue, people who would have the story stop with us, people who might not share everything they know about everybody, but seek to be encouraging and to lift others up and to be humble and allow you to guide us and to bless us because we are people who hold our tongues. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.